You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. The recent protests against the killing of Black people by police have put racial inequity at the forefront of our national conversation. Companies and organizations are addressing race and diversity in their ranks. Even for us in journalism, newsrooms and journalism schools are reflecting on how they cover race and how diverse their staffs are. Santa Clara County witnessed some of the first and largest protests in the Bay Area last month in San Jose. And one thing the Santa Clara County Board of Supervisors has done is promise to address inequity in their county. On June 23rd, the supervisors unanimously adopted a resolution declaring racism a public health crisis. So what does that exactly mean in terms of policy, and how do statements of support like that translate to actual change on the ground? I called up the author of that resolution, Supervisor Dave Cortese, and put those questions to him. There have been resolutions in the past. There have been kind of symbolic gestures made by government, whether local or state or national. And people always wonder, okay, you know, this is beautiful. What does it really mean? In thinking about this resolution, how did you think about that?
I was quite aware of that, you know, that's both syndrome, the syndrome where, you know, things dissipate, energy dissipates, resolutions become worthless pieces of paper because action isn't taken. I won't say that Santa Clara County is exempt from that. Certainly we've had powerful resolutions that we have then acted upon and, again, been leaders in the nation on, in certain areas, around immigration, for example. But we've also, like a lot of local governments and other levels of government, tried to, you know, step into an important issue and then just not been able to carry the bureaucracy along with us, not been able to effectuate change. When we rolled this out, I described it as that kind of a new beginning, that we need to once again, you know, we're not starting at a starting point that was initiated with George Floyd or on Juneteenth or at the June 23rd board meeting when we adopted it, that we were really going back 157 years and trying to pick up where good people left off and try to make things right. And that's going to take a lot of work beyond just what I'm calling reconstruction and reconciliation. I think it's going to take reparations. I think it's going to take massive public safety reconstruction, getting cops out of the business of responding to, you know, people who look like a DUI suspect in a private parking lot or mental health cases or homelessness cases. You know, it's just going to mean a lot of willingness to reject or to not accept the way we've done things in the past.
And if we take a look at some of the things in the resolution, promoting community engagement and engaging authentically with communities of color, incorporating educational efforts to understand how racism affects individual and population health, committing to reviewing all portions of ordinances, codified ordinances, with a racial equity lens. And this term racial equity lens comes up a lot in the resolution in regards to a number of things. So I'm wondering whose perspective will define the lens and how will that work be done?
I believe that what's been going on in this country through my lifetime, and I'm 64 years old, and I think for a long time before I was born, is an attitude which is mixed in there with what we call white privilege. But we have, you know, this thing, maybe it's that same group that Ronald Reagan called the silent majority, you know, that's shouldn't they be satisfied by now? Haven't we created enough equity, enough opportunity? And the answer is no, and not even close. That's even the attitude is not even close. Today is the resolution to finally get that done in our county. And I think if you knit this kind of a resolve together, county by county, city by city, across the country, it doesn't really matter what the United States Senate does. If we can make that shift, you know, in our own local jurisdictions.
Some of the other things, just going through the resolution, training elected officials on workplace bias, also promoting policies that prioritize the health of people of color and mitigating exposure to ACEs, adverse childhood experiences in childhood. I'm wondering, all of this needs money. When it comes to, you know, setting the new budget, how high up the priority list will these things be when it comes to funding?
Well, I don't know if it's true or not, but I've often heard that the Chinese character for crisis is the same as for opportunity. And you have to look at it that way. And as an elected official who has been, you know, in office during significant ups and downs, it is often when systems are being torn down, when budgets are being reduced, when concessions in budgets are being made by department heads, when positions are being frozen, where you do get a fresh start. Because essentially, you know, one way to look at this is the pandemic has stopped us in our tracks. And that's not a bad thing in this context, in the context of racial equity. We needed to be stopped in our tracks. You know, the graphic images of George Floyd stopped us in our tracks and launched a movement. The pandemic, meanwhile, stopped us economically in our tracks. And government is going to have to reimagine, reinvent itself. And while that's happening, what better, you know, underpinning to deal with than structural or institutional racism within your own government? So it is an opportunity, and I know you're asking a more specific question. Yeah, but still, you need money. But money gets shifted, money gets moved around, money gets reappropriated just as much in tough times as it does, you know, in times of great wealth and great revenue.
How will you measure the success of this resolution? You mentioned you have the support of the NAACP, of San Jose Silicon Valley, the Black Kitchen Cabinet, Silicon Valley Debug. They've all supported the resolution, but they also, you know, they vowed to hold the county accountable, as you are welcoming. How do you measure success? What's that like?
You know, I do think we have a responsibility as a board of supervisors to make sure that we're literally that we're putting measurements in place, and that we're getting reports back, and that we're holding our own administration accountable. And there's ways to do that. And I'll tell you one of those ways. Every single item on our board of supervisors agenda, at the end of the legislative file, it has a question. What is the fiscal impact? And then it's answered. Oh, this item is going to cost $1 million. Or this item has no fiscal impact. We're just shifting money from one department to another. And what we need to do is start putting an equity impact statement on every one of those same items. Every vote the Board of Supervisors takes, I believe, should not just have fiscal impact analyzed, or stated in analytical terms, but it should also have the impact on racial equity, racial and ethnic equity impact statement on it as well. And then it takes the Board of Supervisors to make sure that's a real statement, a legitimate statement, that somebody didn't just go through the motions and say, this meets our requirements for resolving racism in our county. No. It's got to say in real terms what's going to change or not. And I think that's the kind of work, you know, it's not that complicated. Force yourself, force those that follow you to answer that question every time they cast a vote. And we have a chance. We have a fighting chance.
Dave Cortese is a Santa Clara County supervisor and author of an adopted resolution that declared racism a public health crisis.